Mary Jane, and I'm chatting with the guys of the Silent Comedy.
This is Ian Kesterson. I play the violin and the mandolin and some other stuff.
This is Joshua Zimmerman, and I play guitar and keys and bass and do a little bit of singing and stomping.
This is Joey Nelson. I play drums and other percussions and trombone and keys and the kitchen sink and slide guitar.
And this is Jeremiah Zimmerman, and I play keys, guitar, other assorted kitchen utensils also, and do some singing.
J. Michael Buchanan, and I don't know if that's true.
We gotta throw a little Justin in. Justin is missing. Mm-hmm. He's our fifth.
Justin is in
fifth member.
Guys decide to form the band?
We played our first show 2 years ago. Little upstairs room of a coffee shop that we...
It's sort of...
By accident?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to pinpoint because we were in... Us three, Joey and Jeremiah and myself, were in a different band that was a lot different. It was like harder rock. And we casually started the Silent Comedy as a side project. My brother and I wrote some stuff that didn't go with the other band, so we wanted to just record it and not really play shows and just put out recordings. I don't know. We sort of got that first show by accident. I didn't set it up. I don't know who really set it up. But then we were like, oh no, we need people to actually play for it. So we got Ian in because he had played with our other band just guesting with violin, and then Justin to play some other instruments. And for a while, we played more shows for quite a while. We played more shows than we had practices. So it just sort of, like, by public demand started getting out of control, and then the other band lost some members. We decided to just not go with that anymore and go all the way with the Silent Comedy, so...
The five of us hadn't actually played together yet. We had, like, a practice with, like, two of us, and practice, like, three, and then, like, a couple of us else would practice, but we hadn't all played all the material together until that show. And then we're like, oh, okay, I think we'll practice now. Well, let's just go on tour.
Yeah, then we went on a little tour to the Northwest just because we had so many people up there who wanted us to come and play. And at that point, yeah, we'd only practiced like maybe four times. And we went on a little tour to California and the Northwest, to Oregon and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now we try to practice now. But
yeah, that we're paying rent to practice at a place. Exactly. We get to practice once or twice a week.
Okay, so what's up with the J dot and I dot names that you guys use in print?
It's because we all have cooler middle names.
Speak for yourself. Agreed.
Well,
my middle name sucks. Yours is awesome.
Yours is awesome. Joey's is awesome.
It all kind of works out. It just kind of adds to, I don't know. It was throw some mystique in there, I guess.
It was. I had to put together a web thing for the band, and Josh and I have the same last name. And it's a long one, and it has lots of M's. Because we're brothers. And
we're not married.
And it was sort of like, wow, you know, it would really be cool if we had something else to put on this, on the MySpace or something. And it was a unilateral decision. I just sort of decided, well, this is what I'm going to do. And I called Joey and said, which of your names, because I think you have two middle names.
I have two middle names.
I was like, which one is do you want to use? Because I want it to be Benedict, because I think it's rad. And he was like, well... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, it's way cooler.
And then I had to call Justin, too, and was like, hey, Justin, what's your middle name? And he's very confused. And I was like, I'm just going to put this on it. And I did it. Didn't really ask anybody if they wanted it that way because I just thought it was funny. And then it sort of took off to the point where we were playing this one show and someone was walking around asking, where's Jay John? And I was like, who are you talking
to? Yeah. Someone called me to set up a show. Yeah, I answered my phone. And they were like, hey, is this Jay John? And I was like, what? And then I realized that we had those things on. So we thought about, because we have, part of the big deal with the Silent Comedy is a lot of guest performers, because we have a lot of friends that are in bands. And we came from different bands as well that are entirely different. So we thought that if we performed sort of under like loose pseudonyms, it would help to not have too many associations with the other bands that we've been involved in. Mm-hmm. People could just like take it fresh. And then for people who were coming into the whole thing new, they'd just be really confused and wouldn't know what was going on, which is nice. And I Forbes, which is Ian's, sounds like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, so. And it is the only non-J.
Yeah. But in Latin, you know, the J's
were, the J's were eyes.
We were trying to make a comment on ecclesiastical Latin
versus classical Latin.
Okay, well, I saw you guys play live for the first time a couple weeks ago, and the whole time throughout your set, I was like, well, if I ever went to church revivals, I'm pretty sure this is what it would be like. And so I'm just wondering, do you guys make it a point to create a certain atmosphere when you play?
Yes. Have you ever been to a big tent revival meeting?
No, I haven't.
My brother and I have been in many of them because that's our background. Mm-hmm. And so, part of the whole thing with this band was because I sort of started it as a side project to the other band that we were in. And I'm not a very good musician. And so for me to start a band, it's more about the whole picture rather than just the music, you know. And so starting it, I had an idea for the look of everything and a sort of feeling of everything and a feeling of the performance of the shows, because I love to perform at the shows, whether it's like musical or not. And since that's not really where my talents lie, I like to stomp around a lot or yell or whatever. So that whole show vibe has a lot to do with the way that it started, which was to give people a show rather than just, oh, here's some people playing some songs. And so we try to give like a big overarching show. And yeah, a lot of it has roots in sort of a gospel, like Southern culture, revivalistic culture. And because I think here in a city like in Southern California, people aren't really exposed to that a lot. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of it's sort of a friendly satire of it, I think.
Yeah.
Or not so friendly. Or maybe a little hostile. When you grow up with it a lot, you see a lot of the kind of ridiculous nature of it, though. You know, you see like, why are you falling over? You know, you're not really falling over. They're just trying to have a scene or have an experience. Yeah. And so, you know, we grew up with sort of that, some of that stuff, and there is a certain thing with it. There is a certain experience when, you know, everybody's going crazy and clapping and dancing around in the aisles, and it can get really trite on one sense, but when it's substituted and labeled as God for people, that's kind of weird and creepy. But when it's actually just, hey, let's have a fun time and dance around, it's awesome.
It's much less creepy.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, but it's when it starts to get really cultish that it becomes kind of crazy.
Although someone just suggested to me at that summer show that we do snake handling now as part of road song. And I think that's an excellent idea because they do that in the South as part of church services. They do snake handling. And if the snake bites you,
then you're a witch, I think.
And you die. No, seriously. If the snake bites you and you get affected by the venom, you're not holy. And if you're holy, it's not going to bite you. And that's a bad idea. But it makes for good entertainment. So maybe we'll pull that out of the show.
Yeah.
See, normally we do at the shows this whole... and it's the thing that people have caught on to is like sort of like a church with whiskey kind of vibe, because we drink a lot of whiskey.
But I think a lot of it, though, is more of that cultural, sort of the folk Americana cultural undertone, which does have a lot of religious and gospel references in it. But we like to write stuff that's very much, you know, influenced by that, you know, the old spirituals of the South, or like some of the bayou or like country blues that was going on, and some of the Appalachian folk. Bayou and black with the bitterest dream, satin got strapped to a wooden bait, hammerheads clap for
shows when in like the indie hipster culture.
Oh god.
Yeah, exactly. people are trying to be so like incredibly jaded, you know. They're like, I'm 14 and I've seen it all.
Just very blasé about everything.
Yeah, it's like ennui. It's like, oh, I don't like anything.
You're going to dance? What are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly. So what we're trying to do is just break that wide open, and when we can totally have no kind of qualms about making fools of ourselves, I think it releases the crowd to have a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
Because it's like nobody's keeping up an image. You know?
No one's gonna move around and enjoy themselves if the guys on stage are just trying to be cooler than them. So
yeah.
We just break the door down and, I don't know, kick it down and move around and stomp more than everyone else.
And there's no hope. Most 14-year-olds are way cooler than I am. So it's like, we can't catch up to it.
Yeah.
Because they have so much time and free money to accessorize and stuff. So
yeah, we have to pay rent.
Yeah, exactly.
Try to buy strings for our guitars. You know, we take ourselves so seriously sometimes as musicians, just in general, everybody does. Like, oh man, I'm really trying to create some art here. And I think that that can really lose its power to communicate when you're so obsessed with being so studious and so serious, when you can actually smile and lose your balance on stage and fall over. That's funny, and it's fun, and people will identify more with you and will be willing to maybe get into the music and start loosening up a little bit. And if people are laughing and dancing around and looking like idiots, I think we've been successful. Hopefully you're a little bit embarrassed if you're there with your girlfriend, or, you know, like, hopefully you're not impressing people. You're just having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you guys said, your performances are kind of theatrical and they're really energetic. So I was wondering, have you ever had any sort of dance related injuries on stage?
Yes.
Well, I'm always worried about giving other people the injuries, because when I get going, I'm kind of the one with the deadly apparatus, with kind of the whole violin bow. And for some reason, I'm always off to the right, and there's always someone just right in my path of just getting a big stab in the face. Mm-hmm. And so it hasn't happened yet, but I tell Justin always watch out, because he's always right next to me.
Joey's passed out a couple times, almost.
Yeah.
He gets so into it. And he's doing more physical activity than most of the rest of us are, except maybe Josh. But he's playing, I mean, he's
no breaks.
Every limb and all over the place. And so sometimes it gets a little hot back there, and we don't get enough water. And we're like, we got to carry Joey outside, because we don't want him to get...
Too much whiskey, not enough water.
Too much whiskey, not enough water, yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, too much drinking.
I'm... like the only person who gets the opportunity to not have an instrument on and go a little bit more ridiculous. But strangely enough, I probably went more crazy with our old band because I didn't have to sing at all. And so I feel like I'm more subdued these days. But I do feel like I'm getting old, because I just had a birthday a while ago, and I feel like I'm an old man. Because when I was like 17, I could do whatever I wanted, and it was awesome. And now, after that Soma show, I was sore. But I also went to this after party and did crazy, yeah, dirty dancing. That makes you sore, too.
You still, however, have hit me with your bass.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I do hit people.
I have been hit with the bass.
Unfortunately, yeah, I hit people with the bass. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I will say this, that whole gospel preacher thing, I like to go down on my knees at the end of the thing because it feels right. It feels like it's where it should go. Mm-hmm. And... that hurts. That hurts my knees.
Yeah, breaking your hand, hitting the stage with your hand.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. In that instance, you're so into it, you don't think about it. And then the next day, I'm like, I'm too old for this shit. You
know? Okay, well, maybe this is just me being a girl, but I really enjoyed your outfits when you guys get on stage.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, what's the first thing that goes through your minds when you see each other all decked out in, like, your suspenders and fancy hats?
Well, let's just say it is not rated PG-13. I'm gonna say that right now.
I get aroused. That's probably the first thing that happens to me.
They all confronted
Joey is
me.
Hot.
Joey is the best dressed of all of us.
What made me really happy was when Josh presented me with the idea, as far as the aesthetic look of it, that I didn't have to go shopping for anything. So, you know, I just kind of pulled from my closet. Oh, so
Joey has this great outfit. Yeah, that has like the elastic armbands, like an old timey bank teller
wear. Garter things.
And oh, goodness. Yeah.
I have a huge
tough
thing for bowlers, too. Bowler hats make
it tough to restrain yourself.
We all kind of turn into girls with the clothes.
I think. For as many practices as we have.
Fashion
style, consulting time,
it.
And we talk and we meet and we go through each other's closets and
with this
new shopping.
Ian just brought up on the next tour,
we may go shopping for, like, coordinated outfits. Like, something military or something, where we all got, like, a unified vibe.
They all confronted me one day, and they were like,
hey, Jeremiah was resistant.
There was an intervention. There was an intervention.
He was like, they were like, hey, you know, no more jeans for you.
Yeah, you can't like, just throw on a hat
and grow some facial hair and be part of this whole thing, okay, buddy?
Once at the beauty bar, because we buy a lot of stuff that's old and from thrift stores and stuff, the zipper of my trousers burst open, and there was no repairing it. And I realized about the second song, and there's all these people, and I knew that they knew, but they didn't know that I knew. So I wanted to make sure that they weren't laughing at me like, oh, he doesn't know, his zipper's all hanging open. So I had to address it. I had to come right out and talk to the crowd about it, and I said, hey, this is what's going on with my pants. This is what's going on. The people in the front row are having an extra special
camera phones ready.
And let's move past it. And it was okay.
All right, well, you guys have got an album coming out really soon. What are you most excited for with this, and how do you think listeners are going to react to it?
I think it's going to be cool to put out so many songs at one time. Our last couple of releases have been very spur of the moment, very kind of thrown together very quickly, and they've been more demo. I mean, our last recording was 8 songs that we literally set up and played start to finish with everybody in one room, and we just kind of did it because we were going out on tour and we wanted to give people something. In this last one, we've spent more time on it, and still, I mean, we're still constrained, we're still limited with our budget and with our time and with our expertise and our equipment and everything, but I feel like we're giving people something a little bit more, with a little bit more care into it, a little bit more effort, and we've got new songs that no one's ever heard on this record, so it's exciting. Some of them were written in the process of recording, so we haven't even played them as a full band yet, and we have a song that Ian wrote on this one, which is really cool because Ian writes really amazing songs, and we don't get a chance to showcase that as often as I think we'd like.
And the hair on the face of my father marks his way to as it loses its color, but I've got a minute. If you've got a cigarette, we'll sit as the river rolls by. Oh Lord.
And since we had a little more time with it, we were able to bring in some extra folks to guest in on there.
Yeah,
we got some just everything from more background vocals to some horn sections, and just there's just more time to bring in some people that we wanted that and our rushed other little recording adventures, we didn't have the accessibility to that, so that was pretty exciting too.
Yeah, we had Steven and Josh from Get Back doing different guest stuff, Get Back Loretta, doing different guest stuff on it. Also 3/5 of Get Back were involved in the group vocal process, and Alex from the Roman Spring and Frankie from Southern Graffiti, formerly of Campaign for Quiet, and just it's a lot of fun to have our friends come in and do stuff. And in the future, we'll probably have more guest people on the recordings. I think this one is cool because we finally have something. We handmade all of our CDs before. I would cut blocks out of linoleum and then roll ink on them and print them, and cut the paper out of paper bags from the grocery store and then fold it all up and sew it up the sides, and that's what we did for our old ones. And so it's tough when you sell out of them and you won't, like, need to go on tour or whatever, you have to make 100 new ones, and it's a huge pain, but it's really cool, and it's like a hand done thing, and there's like a lot of care and love put into it. But it'll be great to have an album that's professionally duplicated and just feels a little bit more professional. It feels better for people to pay money for something that is actually worth their while rather than like a burned CD. Mm-hmm. Our engineer is Pedro Giovanni Garcia Macias III, otherwise known as El Guapo. Yeah. And he is a very, very passionate, fire-blooded man. He has a patch of chest hair in the shape of a heart.
Aww.
That's how
he naturally.
He's a Latin lover.
and he engineered our album, and he's great.
Spanish guitar fire.
There's a little bit of his vocals on there. He did record Skin Flute for it, but we had to cut that, unfortunately.
And it was all recorded. Next. I mean, we recorded stuff in my kitchen. We were recording things just all over the place.
It's very rough, yeah. But it's better than the other stuff we have out. So
it's,
I think
it's cool
that people, especially our fans who've sort of been with us since that first accidental show, will appreciate it because they really love the stuff, and they're probably the greatest people on the face of the earth. So
it needed to happen because there's a whole full well of other stuff waiting to get started on again. So that was exciting to be able to just... People had heard a lot of the songs we've done, and there's a lot that they haven't heard too, but they were people were waiting for the stuff on record.
Well, what is this new record called?
Sunset Stables.
It's called Sunset Stables, yeah. We ran up against like a time constraint in getting it done, and so we had some the girl who does our artwork for like our poster for our Casbah show, who's just amazingly talented, actually for the Soma show as well, was going to do some artwork for it, but she's in Rhode Island right now, and we were going to have her do the artwork and stuff, but everything just got so crazy toward the end. We were doing like 12-hour days of mixing, and we just had to get it in, or else we wouldn't have it for our release show. We didn't have a name, we didn't have artwork or anything, so my brother and I just ended up drawing some stuff for the art, and coming up with the name. There was actually Joey's suggestion, and it's from one of the songs on the album. It's sort of a lyric reference. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. Originally, when it was just an EP, all the songs were about death, and we were going to do something that was about death, but every title just sounded pretentious and forced, you know?
Or French.
And so, or French. French, forced.
Or like a bad
difference.
Metal album.
Or like a bad metal album, like Hell's Bells. No, that wasn't an idea for the title. But Joey mentioned Sunset Stables, and I think it fits, even with the sort of end-of-life kind of thing. So that's just what we went with, because it sounded great. So,
will you guys use an eclectic sort of collection of instruments with your recordings? Is there anything that you'd like to use in the future that you're thinking about that you haven't used?
I have these huge oil drums sitting in the back of my house that I'd eventually like to use. Like, they're huge.
Yeah,
fuck off,
awesome.
Oil drums. I'd like to use more accordion.
Yeah, more accordion.
I have my dad's accordion that he learned to play, and he was 10, and he gave it to me, and I've been trying to play it, and so I'm working on bringing that in.
I'd like to incorporate a hurdy-gurdy at some point.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah, I want to get a hammered dulcimer. I just watched this. There's this movie coming out, and it's like a documentary about gypsy music, and I watched it, and there's this guy that plays hammer dulcimer, and he plays it faster than I've ever seen anyone play anything, and it just blew my mind. I was watching him, and I was just like, I must have one of those. I have to get a hammer dulcimer, so I'm gonna start pricing them on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I personally come from a very orchestral background starting out, and so I also play vibraphone, which I'd used in the last band, which I really want to incorporate more into this. You know, more concert percussion, you know, chimes, and I'm always a fan of just bringing a little, you know, twinge of the orchestral side into things.
Orchestral bells, timpani, all that kind of stuff.
On
this new album, though, we use, like, toy piano. It's a little tiny miniature toy piano, which is great. We use that on the new album. And Joey's slide guitar, kind of like lap steel, will be coming out a lot more in the coming shows.
Well, you guys are with Singleton Records, which is a label that Josh and Jeremiah started,
yes.
Right? What made you guys decide to make your own label, and what are your goals with it?
It is just us. I mean, it is just us doing work. And
it's just good to have a name for it.
Yeah, we just wanted a name for it. I mean, since we're doing this anyway, and we're all kind of putting this effort into it,
it's also a business, because Jeremiah and I do a lot of other things. Like he was saying, I do all the video. He also does all the web design, and so it's a business that I do video stuff under for other clients, and he does web design stuff for other clients, like corporate people or other bands, which is the cool thing. Like, I was in Europe with The Killers doing video stuff for them, or for Louis XIV for their new album and stuff. So it's just good to have a name that you can throw on things, as far as people have to write checks to and stuff, and you know, we have to pay taxes for all of our sales and all that. So it's good to have a name and and an accountant. And our goals for it really are to launch probably us into a different contract, so we don't have to handle all that stuff ourselves. But then once we're at that point, maybe to find other music that's something that's close to our hearts, who maybe they don't have like a way to put it out themselves, and we could help them with that. Mm-hmm. So,
and let's not kid ourselves, it makes the sound much cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, is there a particular musician or band that you guys would like to collaborate with in the future, or have guest on one of your shows?
Mostly the ladies.
Well, send one out to the ladies right now.
Like, to be anyway involved with something like a Jillian Welsh or Nico Case would fucking light my life up.
Wow. Yeah. Nico Case and Jillian Welsh are extraordinary and extraordinarily hot. In a very talented way. Hot is so much more than looks. They are hot. No, there's a whole lot of people. I think of people on a local level a lot. Like, obviously, the Dirty Sweet guys have been wanting to do a little guesting stuff, and we'd like to get them in on stuff. Get Back, they're good friends of ours, and so they did some on the last album, you know. But even more, we'd love to play with. Hopefully, like, the Louie guys, those guys are great, and I'd love to get Brian with his distinctive voice in singing some stuff in the future.
We had a night here for our new record where we invited everybody that, you know, that we could over the internet and phone calls to come down and sing in sort of like this group barroom sounding vocal stuff on our new record. And then over the course of that, we found out that a couple people, like one of our friends picked up a trombone and started playing, and we're like, hey, hang out a little bit and play some stuff on the record. And so he did. And then we got this other guy, Scott, who I work with, who's just awesome. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, I play trumpet. And we're like, well, why don't you come down and play trumpet? And he came down and he rocked. And then he ended up playing with us at Soma. And, you know, he's not in a band, and he's not, some local musician guy. He's just a great guy. He's our friend, and he plays trumpet. And he came in and he did it.
And it doesn't even need to be people who want to be full-time musicians or anything like that. You know, that's the great thing about it.
Yeah,
and we all play multiple instruments. Mm-hmm. And Ian started playing guitar not too long after we formed this band, and now is writing songs and going crazy with it. And to see people develop in other instruments is so rewarding, because I love to play every instrument I get my hands on, and I suck at most of them.
Yeah,
but it's okay. I mean, like, if you can play five notes and those are good notes, you know, and you have that part down, all right, let's turn the mic on, let's record it. You know, and that's sort of where we come from, is like, you don't need to be a virtuoso. Like, there are a lot of people in the world that are virtuoso musicians, and they're incredible, and that talent's amazing, and I wish I was one of those people, but I've never been. I've always been like sort of lack of a, you know, an ADD musician, where like, oh, I'll play this instrument, but then I'll go and play this one, and I'm not brilliant on any of them, but I play all of them kind of capably, or kind of here or there. And all of us are in a position where we all can switch around and it's still the same experience. It's not, the band doesn't change. I mean, Ian will play mandolin and violin and guitar, and he contributes on all three of those. And Joey plays an unbelievable number of instruments, and just all over the place. And in our old band, he used to play three at once. He'd be playing the kick drum with his feet, he'd be playing keyboards with one hand and playing vibes with the other hand, and you're just going like, oh, I wish he had some kind of mutant fourth, fifth, sixth limb that he could play with, because we would have the greatest, you know, string section and horn section. Joey plays all this stuff. Josh started out playing bass and has now started playing keys and guitar and doing all this stuff. To see that expansion is just great, because then we're collaborating with ourselves at some point where it's like, all right, I'm going to go play this now. And I mean, Justin is a great example of a guy who, he played guitar when I met him, and I didn't know if he played any, I don't know if he played anything else. No, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's like, picked up the mandolin and picked up the banjo, and that's what he,
harmonica.
He bought a concertina, and he's been playing that. He's, the instruments he plays most regularly in our band, he didn't play when I met him.
Or before the band started.
Or before the band started.
And he kind of learned a place, and he has just excelled so much in his abilities, just because I think he had the opportunity to. So many bands are like, they want one specific role. It's like, okay, you're the guitarist. That's what you do. And in the Silent Comedy, if you're going to play with the Silent Comedy, that's what you're doing. You're playing with the Silent Comedy. It could be anything. I mean, you could be playing back, spoons.
He's you can be anything you want in the Silent Comedy. Whatever your wildest dreams.
He's perfecting back east his, like, Tony tuna Robbins. Fisherman skills. Oh, yeah. And his, like,
beard
three,
skills.
His three-masted ship tattoo on the chest skills. Oh, yeah. So there's things that don't even have to do with music, but he's like, fighting pirates with a landing spike, you know? I don't know if you've ever seen those. It's a maritime tool.
I think we're pretty much...
He's doing other things right now.
I think we're just a testament, with all our poor musicianship, to just good songwriting in well-arranged parts.
But you wanted her dressed up to greet your guest. They said, my dear, you look pale, soaked wet and frail. Well, she screamed, your face is made up to the lot of men. Oh, why don't you just go on and confess, that there's boys
have got a couple months of tour dates coming up, including a Northwestern tour. What are you guys most looking forward to with this?
I'm looking forward to going back to Oregon. We had such a great time there last year, in the beginning of last year. I think it's going to be really great to go back. This time we're probably going to be playing in better places too.
There's really something satisfying about going somewhere where you've never been before and playing to an entire room of people that you have never seen before and most likely will probably never see again. You know, so there's something really satisfying about that, to be able to give something that you've done to people who are willing to listen to it.
All right, so do you guys have any slang terms that you overuse?
Oh, you gotta, I like to abbreve a lot.
Yeah, you gotta rock the abbreves.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
That's dece.
What's that for?
Decent. Decent, yo.
No, those are really, lame.
I think probably the slang terms that I overuse, I will not repeat here.
Josh uses profane slang.
I developed a little bit of Tourette's syndrome.
It's really funny.
Playing Nintendo 64 at my new house with my life partner, Eric. I yell incredibly profane things, so I overuse that a lot, but I won't say them here because my mother will never love me anymore. I say good times a lot.
Yeah.
And people have asked me before, they say, are you serious when I say good times? And I am serious because I think we have good times. Mm-hmm. But people go, are you really seriously saying good times right now? And they look at me with slanted, like, evil eyes.
All right, what's everyone's drink of choice?
Well, I hate to take Joey's drink.
Oh,
I'm not gonna, but I like Joey's drink a lot, which you'll soon find out. I guess it's generally a lot of whatever.
That's a good one.
No, I think I like beer a lot. Something dark and tasty.
I'm gonna just refuse to make a joke about that. Red wine for me. I'm holding a bottle right now. And it is tasty.
I generally run for Irish whiskeys, Bushmills, Jameson. My mixed drink of choice is Bushmills and ginger ale. And
that's the one I like.
Oh, it's so good. I also really enjoy stouts, imperial stouts, dry stouts, cream stouts.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go. I agree with Joey. I love anything with any basically dark beer. Any of the stouts, oatmeal stout, chocolate stout, Russian Imperial stout. Love the dark beers. But I also like a good ale every now and then too, like an IPA or something. But in terms of hard liquor, I'm a huge fan of just some straight up whiskey. Yeah. Some Jameson, some Black Jack Daniels.
Really?
I also like, you know, I also like the occasional really sort of mixed drinks, ridiculous umbrella drinks too, which is embarrassing. But you know, when like you drink a Long Island iced tea, you're getting a lot of alcohol for your money. Yeah,
my drink ticket, because they only give you two of them.
Exactly.
You get a pint full of everything you can think of and a dash of Coke, and that goes a long way.
Yeah. Jeremiah, my brother, got me all into beers, right? And that's okay. I didn't like beer before. He got me all into beers. But I worry that I drink too much beer and I'm going to, like...
Get a little tum-tum?
Gain some whizzate. So I was at the beauty bar recently, and I had already drank, like, most of a bottle of wine before we went, like you do, you know? And we showed up, and I had a beer, and then people started buying me things, and I thought, I can't get beer because I'm trying to cut down on the beer. So I went straight to hard alcohol, and that can lead to unfortunate things.
Yeah.
Don't mix the beverages.
And you're leaning over a toilet or a sink for about 3 hours.
But let me just say this, non-alcoholic-wise, I drink a lot of bourbon mate.
Ooh.
And I know, because I did my homework, Josh Cass from Get Back Loretta said that in their interview... And I turned him on to it. And I just like to say that. He didn't give me credit.
Yeah, no,
that's okay.
All right, and so the last one I always ask everyone is, how do you guys feel about eyeliner?
I don't need it.
My eyes stopped traffic. I have worn it quite a bit in the past. I don't currently. But that's not to say that I won't again. I think it is a sassy accessory.
I will say, having been involved with the San Diego Rocky Horror Picture Show cast for 6 years, I'm all for it. I prefer liquid to stick.
Whoa.
Don't use a Sharpie. My ex-girlfriend used a Sharpie as eyeliner, and I think that affects your brain.
I realized that I have an unbelievably light complexion, and when I put on any kind of eyeliner, I look like a raccoon from hell. So I stay away from it. I like it, and I wish I could wear it a little bit more, but I can't pull it off at all.
You could probably hook it.
No.
Like
I've used eyeliner before to draw in some sideburns. I remember that. And then a combination of that and some mascara to I won't shave for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and then I can really fill in that big batch of neck hair I got.
And yeah, you
feel like I'm one of the guys.
Yeah, you think maybe he's born with it, or maybe it's Maybelline.
All right, real quick, do you guys have anything you'd like to say to your fans or someone listening?
Thanks for being fans, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Our sort of base are literally like the greatest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very cool. They're very inspiring. So...
Yeah,
we love them very much.
It's great when people support us, because we really don't take it for granted. Every one of those dollars goes back into making the music, so
yeah.
It's not like we're pocketing it and going.
Joe and Aaron,
definitely.
You know who you are. They've been to more shows than the band members have. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
They've been on tour with us multiple times.
Yeah,
they're awesome. I mean, that's the thing is when you. It's so hard sometimes when you're making the music to believe that people actually like it, because you get so close to it and you forget. And then when someone comes up and wants to talk to you about your music and tell you what it means to them, it's not to be cliche or stupid or whatever, but it really does mean a lot. And oh man, Rich Cook.
Oh yeah, let me just say.
Cooker.
Let's just give a shout out to the Cooker. He's in Minneapolis right now, and he is a priceless, priceless human being. He's done a whole lot for us, and hopefully we've done a whole lot for him sexually.
He has lifted up his skirt way more times.
Yeah, because when I don't think I can go on anymore, I hear him in my head telling me to lift up my skirt and make some memories.
Exactly, yeah.
And
he
that's what I do.
He has lifted up his skirt and our skirt many times, and he is just
taking
the greatest guy.
Taking him to various dry cleaners and other... nonsensical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rich Cook. He's the greatest. We love him.
Please be over. We